Guys, I've been sitting around recently and I've been wondering if you guys can relate to this feeling that I had. I know it might be a little bit of a unique feeling. I grew up watching Disney, watching all these movies, and I loved Tinkerbell, Peter Pan, Wendy, love watching it, but I just couldn't quite relate to it. And even when I was a wee lad, I was watching the TV and going, you know what? I wish they made Tinkerbell black. That would really make my heart soar. Can you guys relate to that feeling? No,
I relate
neither
to
can
being a
I.
wee lad,
Do
but I don't know about.
you? Well, no, I cannot relate to that feeling at all. But now, here we are. Here we are. So let's talk about it. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. He, hims, and she, hers. This is Unapologetic Live. Happy Monday. I'm your host, Dom Lepinobi, and Taylor's here in Nashville.
Hello, lads and lasses. How y'all doing?
I hope you're all doing well. Scott is also in the producer's bay.
What's up, everyone?
Today, we have a lot to talk about. Today, we're gonna get into Disney and yet another remake. I mean, they just love pushing out remakes, I can tell you that. Disney was once just this creative company that was putting out timeless classics and tales that will, carry you throughout your childhood to adulthood, access that nostalgia when you're older, be something that you can look back on, even when you have kids, pass down the old tapes too. I know I have the old like VCR Disney tapes that my grandma kept of all the classic Disney movies that we watched as a kid, even as a copy of Song of the South, which is like a crazy thing to have now. And we'll talk about that story later on in the show today. But grew up on Disney, was such a Disney kid, loved it. And now here we are with Black Tinkerbell and Black Ariel and a whole bunch of unasked for Disney remakes of all the movies that were already great. They were good, perfect, even some of them. Should have been left alone, but now here we are. Let's look at this article. Fans applaud Disney's first Black Tinkerbell in the new Peter Pan and Wendy movie trailer. And there is the Black Tinkerbell played by an actress who I recognize, Yara Shahidi, who is from a show called Blackish. And you can guess what that show is about. Black. Ish. It's about being blackish. And she is now going to play the new Tinkerbell. And apparently there are people who are excited about this. This article says that fans are applauding. I don't know who those fans are who are applauding or asked for this. I can almost guarantee you nobody asked for this. Nobody. And I just picture them sitting at the Disney, whatever meetings they have, their creative meetings with their team of producers and writers and going, you know what? Maybe we should come up with something new, something fresh. What's a new story we can put out there? And maybe we can inject some diversity into it. You know what? Let's just pick one of those old movies and remake it. Why be creative? Just remake a new movie. Okay, well, let's remake the movie. Are we gonna cast the characters in the likeness of the original characters? Nah, why would we do that? It's a brilliant opportunity to just take a character that everybody knows and loves and is familiar with and then just put a black actress in the role and get a bunch of applause from, I don't know who, but applause from people. I loved Tinkerbell as a child. And guess what? I loved the white Tinkerbell. She was great. Didn't care about the blonde hair and the blue eyes and the white skin. Didn't bother me one bit because I loved Tinkerbell as a character. I didn't feel the need to see my skin color in a character that I was watching on TV because I saw myself in their morals and values and personality, which could carry through really with keeping her likeness and keeping what people are used to. But they can't do that. They have to make her a black Tinkerbell. I'm curious, what do you guys think is the next character that they're going to remake?
What do you think,
Oh my
Taylor?
gosh. I mean, nothing's off limits, nothing's sacred anymore. I can't even tell. It's sad that, you could barely call what they're doing. You said like them having a creative meeting. Like there's no creativity left at Disney, so it seems, because the extent of their creativity is let's rewrite a woman character as an adventurous hero who fights and beats up other men characters, and then let's take characters that were white and make them minorities. And it's the same thing, copy and paste over and over again. I just hope we do cycle through all of them sooner than later so we can get it all over with and hopefully get back to making films that are creative on their merits, that speak to deep underlying themes and values that all human beings can relate to, that make stories that actually resonate with people as human beings, rather than just making them to push, you know, this forced diversity stuff and the forced feminism and all this stuff down our throats. Because I think everyone's, I'm just tired of it. I'm not even hardly offended anymore. I'm just tired of it.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel like they're trying at all. And this is not to say that we're somehow upset about black characters in Disney movies. By all means, make a story with a black character. We all watch Princess and the Frog. I love Princess and the Frog. Are they ever going to remake that movie and make Tiana white? No, of course they're not. You're never going to see a race swap of that role ever in your life. But it's free range for all the other roles that white people are playing or white characters and white cartoons are in. Those can be switched at any given moment. And it's not just Tinkerbell, who's now going to be black and probably lesbian or something in this coming movie. But they're changing just the personalities of the characters, how they present. Wendy, that is supposed to be this nurturing, sort of a motherly feminine figure in the show, is now going to be a girl boss who can fight just like all the other boys can and has no distinguishable differences because girls can do exactly what boys can do and everything's fine and there's no difference at all. They're also going to put, I always forget the little group of boys. You guys just reminded me and I forgot.
Lost Boys.
The Lost Boys. So now instead of being the Lost Boys, they're going to be the Lost Boys and Girls. And they're going to be all intermixed with gender. And
what about the lost nine binaries, Amala?
Oh, gosh. The lost they, thems.
Lost it's all folks. About inclusivity.
Oh, no. Maybe they are going to just change it. Maybe it's just going to be the lost persons, the lost people, the lost humans. Oh, I can't deal with this, guys. I can't. But yeah, so now they're going to be having girls and boys in this group. And this is interesting because I didn't quite know this because I watched Peter Pan as a kid, of course. More so the Tinkerbell movies that Disney made in the early 2000s was what I was watching as a kid. But Peter Pan and the Lost Boys have a particular meaning behind them. Apparently the Lost Boys, what is it, fell out of their cribs or, you know, wherever they were sleeping. And this is what created them, their membership into this community of being Lost Boys. And the reason it was only boys, the movie states that girls weren't stupid enough to have made this mistake and girls were far more mature and far more grounded in themselves. So there were no lost girls. It was just lost boys. And they never grow up because boys are stuck in that phase in life. And that's why Wendy comes and brings in this feminine, mature, nurturing energy and sort of helps usher them into this next phase of life. But never mind. Never mind a classic, somewhat based in biology reasoning for such characters. Let's just throw some girls in there because we know they feel left out.
Yeah, how dare we invoke motherhood being a good thing for right. young boys and getting them along. And also, yeah, the head nod to young girls being too smart and too agile to let this happen to them as children is just it's crazy that we're adding them into the mix as though they can fall into this.
Yeah, and you know, it's just going to keep happening. They're remaking Snow White, and that's going to come out soon as a live-action remake. And I believe Rachel Zegler, who I am a big fan of, is going to be playing Snow White. So I'm so curious to see what direction they go to in
Snow Black.
In that movie.
That's where it's going.
Snow Black is where it's going. Yeah, no, it very well might, but she's not black, so we'll see what other characters they end up swapping out and doing little changes with, because I'm sure they are incapable of remaking a movie without injecting some sort of nod to what their current ideology is. I know in the Frozen, they had the gay couple plus the lesbians. In Beauty and the Beast, in their live action remake, what is it, LeFou, I think that's his name, ends up being homosexual in some way, shape, or form, and they have to give you the little nod to the fact that that's happening. Ariel's black, Tinkerbell's black, and now girls are members of the Lost Boys group. So I don't know what's going to come for Snow White.
Yeah, this may be a little bit of a joke, but I'm afraid that they're going to redo Sword in the Stone, one of the OG Disney movies.
That's way back.
And they're going to change King Arthur to King Arthuria, and it'll probably be some phallocentric story, you know, along those lines.
Or like white privilege is what enables him to actually pull the sword from the stone.
Yeah.
I guess they must have fun in the creative room just thinking about all the ways that they can ruin our childhood. Everybody's having a go at me recently. I just got shot in the stomach watching Velma, and I think I'm just done. I think I'm going to just close my eyes to every single remake of anything from my childhood that comes out ever. Ever. I couldn't bring myself to watch the new Pinocchios that came out, which two new Pinocchios came out. Couldn't bring myself.
I didn't even know that.
To do it. Yeah.
Wasn't there, one of them was by Guillermo del Toro?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other one was, I don't know if that's not the one that's starring Tom Hanks. I think Tom Hanks was in a separate one where he plays Geppetto. Too frightful.
Right.
To venture out to the movie theater to watch these new movies. I can't do it anymore. And we have other Disney news, of course. You guys know that song, Zippity-Doo-Da, Zippity-Day. I know that song because my grandmother would sing it every morning as she woke up. And to me, it's still part of my childhood where I think, oh, my grandmother was in such a good mood singing this song that's about being in a good mood and nature being around you and just how it's a wonderful day. Of course, that song in particular is from a movie known as Song of the South. And this article out of Post Millennial says Disney is going to censor Zippity-Doo-Dah from parks over its origins in the racist Song of the South film. And here's a picture here from the movie and then the Disney park, of course. And I had to look into this because I was like, okay, Song of the South, I may have watched it once or twice as a kid. I remember it's a movie that's based in the Reconstruction era of the United States, which was post-slavery, of course, where we're rebuilding race relations. Black people are now free and are entering American society and finding their way through. And it's apparently about a young boy named Johnny, I believe. Let's see. Based on the Uncle Remus stories about the ingenious Bunny Brer Rabbit using live action and animation. Following the separation of his parents, a young boy goes to live in the American South. There he meets Uncle Remus, who is the black character pictured, who gives the boy valuable insights into his problems via the stories he tells about Brer Rabbit. And I looked up some clips so I could watch part of the film. I don't think we can play them for you for copyright reasons, but all of the comments under the clips from this film are so abundantly positive. They're talking about how they view this black character, Uncle Remus, as such a lively part of their childhoods. He's clearly the hero of this story that is teaching this young boy valuable life lessons through this little cartoon rabbit. And people saying here, I wished Uncle Remus was my grandfather when I was a kid, even though I'm a white kid and I watched this jolly black guy just, you know, dance around on screen and sing to me and teach me all these life lessons. There's black people in the comments saying, I watched this and thought this was wonderful and learned so much from it as a kid. But no, we can't have that. It can't be on screen. It's done because of the period that it portrays. It is inherently racist. It is inherently biased. So we must remove it. We must take it out of our parks. We can't even have a song called Zippity-Doo-Dah that's simply about how wonderful and happy a day is going to be and what great weather it will bring and what great emotions it's going to bring to you. A very powerful thing for, I think, young kids in particular to have as far as attitude is concerned. Nope. Gone. Done.
It's now racist to say what a wonderful day. I'm just glad Mr. Rogers didn't have to live to see this day where you're not even allowed to celebrate the weather or it being a good day or anything. It's just sad to see Disney's either self-canceling or remaking everything good that they've ever made into something horrible. And they're basically slowly disappearing, because what are they going to have left after they have remade everything into things that people refuse to watch because it's all the same message, just by undoing the creativity of people that came before them and jamming the same themes into that existing stuff, or they're just finding problems with past stuff and canceling it. So I don't know. Disney seems to be on the downfall for sure.
Yeah. And it's so interesting because when they go out and make real original stories, for the most part, they're bangers and they do really well in the box office. Coco was a smash hit. They made Moana, which was fantastic. And these were new stories with new ethnicities that they were featuring and actually truly diverse and inclusive, if that's how we're judging movies, storylines. Why go back and just pull from old things that have already been done and done very, very well and remake them to fit some sort of modern day imagery? And we all know that Disney was going back and putting that disclaimer on Disney Plus before all of their prior films saying, you know, before you watch this, be careful because there's spooky racism and depictions of different races and harmful imagery and wording and phrases in this movie. So beware before you watch. Oh, gosh. Just make good stories. And if you want those stories to be inclusive of race and all these different things, you've proved you can do it. So do it.
Yeah, this one's really weird because they're sacrificing good storytelling and archetypal characters, which Uncle Remus actually happened to be the old wise one in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
They're sacrificing good storytelling and good characters solely for messaging, and canceling this man and what he stood for within the film and being the wise old teacher is just, it's eliminating the good message that was within the entire story itself. And they're so willing to do that solely for the messaging now.
And it's like, and Black people are like, yo, what the hell? Why'd you take, what do you mean? You are quite literally finding movies where Black people were represented in film and represented positively and removing them. It reminds me of the stuff they're doing with food. You know how they're taking Aunt Jemima off the syrup bottles and Uncle Ben off of Uncle Ben's rice and the Native American off of the Land O'Lakes. Why would you do that? These are actual helpful depictions of people of different ethnicities and races that are in staples. They are household items and household names and truly classic, timeless pieces that will be there forever if you allow them to be there. But they say no, because it was done during this specific set of time, because we have this connotation towards the pictures that we're seeing and the depictions of these people. Just swipe them away. And it's just wild to me because they'll run to us and say, look, Black people have been struggling for representation since the dawn of time and they've never gotten it. And you go, wait a minute, I had a bunch of examples of Black people getting that representation, of Native Americans getting that representation. Where did they go? Oh, we removed them because they were offensive to us. We got rid of those. I'm so sorry. Like, are we just gonna keep chasing them as they remove stuff and then accuse us of being the racist ones? I guess that's where we go from here. I don't know what Disney's gonna do next. In maybe 50 years from now, Princess Tiana in Princess and the Frog is gonna be a racist depiction of a Black woman who wasn't rich and wasn't making a lot of money and poor her, and that's horrible, so we need to get rid of that film. Watch it happen, guys. Just you wait. Oh, but there will be more from Disney, I'm sure. Nothing original, though. It seems. And if it is original, it's going to be, I don't know, like that Turning Red film, which I watched and I gave my thoughts on that. You guys can go check that out if you want. But there's so much potential there to actually do something good. And in remaking and shifting and changing, you are not only recreating something that's already been done well, but you're stripping it of what was good about it. And that's not the skin color of the characters. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the ideology that is now injected that completely negates what were timeless classic messages in the film. If Wendy's now some badass girl who can fight and sword fight, and the lost boys are now lost boys and girls, or lost boys, girls, and they, thems, where's the timeless nature of the story there? What are you left with that is going to supersede these rapid changes in ideology and just current events? Now every movie from this time period is going to be stamped with the year that it's created, because there's nothing that lives past these little squabbles and fights that we're having right now. There's nothing timeless about it.
Yeah, Disney. Once upon a time, you know, That's funny to say that. That's how Disney sets up their fairy tale stories. But once upon a time, Disney and all these companies that make movies would focus on creating something original and representing stories that spoke to, you know, universal human experiences, like the Peter Pan is about the need to grow up and for young boys, and many other themes, the value of motherhood, among others. And that is a universal human experience that everybody can inherently relate to. It wasn't about the skin color of the characters. It happened to be from a story that was written by a Scottish author, and it was adapted by, or in that time, from that book. And so it just represented what it came from, but it was about the ideas, and that was what was first. And, you know, once upon a time, stories were about the actual story, the actual values, the actual substance of why the story was created. And now we think that we've achieved something just by making it about representation, or just jamming representation in there. And representation is nice. And like you said, you know, I was growing up, we had Pocahontas, we had all these Disney movies that happened to have representation in there because yep. they were telling stories from different parts of the world. And that was a great thing. And even going back to the 80s, you can watch movies from back then and there was representation. Mm-hmm. Star Wars had black characters in it and all that, but it just wasn't a big deal. And I think everyone can tell the difference when it's something that's being jammed in there for its own sake, and whenever it's something that is just, hey, this is how the world is, and we're putting that on screen, but our focus is giving you great entertainment. Our focus is giving you stories. Our focus is communicating values that everyone can relate to. And that's the magic. That's the magic of storytelling. That's the magic of that Disney once had. And it just is sad to see them, you know, constantly over and over again, choosing to, you know, go down the same route of the same old story. And it's just so predictable and so boring and so frustrating, because like you said, they've done Canto, they've done some of these other ones. I haven't watched the new ones, but you know, it's like you can do a Turning Red or you can do an Encanto. And mm-hmm. it seems like they should know how to do both, and they should be able to see in the results that, you know, Lightyear flopped because they chose to put some woke stuff in it and it turned off everyone from going to see it. Yep. But people loved Encanto. So just make the stuff that people like and can relate to. This isn't that hard, Disney, but, you know, Daily Wire is coming for them because they refuse to just do that because they're so ideologically motivated.
Yeah. And somebody made actually a good point in the comments down below. Kana commented that he/she has got anime and K-drama, and a lot of people are just looking to other countries to watch timeless pieces of animation and timeless shows and things that are just purely made for the sake of entertainment and telling you a good story with twists and turns and love and romance and all these different things. They're looking to other people to do it, and other people are doing it better because they actually have maybe a similar sort of homogenous mindset when it comes to values that are going to be in films, and they have an actual love for the art rather than a love for the dogma. And that's where we're at. Now, let's move on to a different story here. This one's going to be interesting for you guys. Have you guys ever heard the term black bereavement? Does that ring any bells for you? It didn't ring any bells for me. But apparently, a professor is now demanding that black staff get special paid time off to deal with fatigue, trauma from systemic racism. This critical race theorist, of course she's a critical race theorist, Angel Jones, says faculty should get special bereavement leave counseling services for this trauma that she's experiencing. So it says, a critical race theorist and professor demanded that black people should get a special bereavement leave and counseling services in order to deal with issues related to systemic racism. Angel Jones is a visiting professor at Southern Illinois University, Edwardsville, whose work is grounded in critical race theory and critical race feminism. In other words, her work is grounded in nothingness. But CRT, they explain, of course, is an ideology that holds that America is systemically racist and there's oppressor and oppressed and blah, blah, blah. We all know what critical race theory is at this point. Jones argues that black faculty should be granted special paid time off and mental health therapy to deal with events of alleged police brutality in an article that she published, that was published in the Times Higher Education on February 23rd. She, of course, did not respond to a request for comment, but says, quote, I am a proud educator who loves what I do, but before that, I am a black woman. Let's pause there for a second. Let's read that again. I am a proud educator who loves what I do, but before that, I am a Black woman. A lot of people will hear that and think, what an empowering statement. What a beautiful thing. Before being an educator, before being something outside of myself, a characteristic, something that I love, that I'm passionate about, before all those things, I am a Black woman. To me, that's sad. It's devastating that people are viewing themselves that way. Imagine you have a spirit and a soul. Some people believe that, whatever. You have a personality, you have characteristics, you have things that are individual and unique to yourself. Those things have been, you know, created in an amalgamation of blood and cells and a brain and your nervous system and all that, and plopped in a shell. And your shell happens to be Black. Somebody else's shell happens to be white. And instead of identifying by what's inside that shell, what is beautiful and unique about you, your thoughts, your personality, your feelings, you go, no, I'm the shell. I'm the Black woman before anything else. I am the shell that my mind, my soul, my spirit, my thoughts, my uniqueness are inhabited in. Blows my mind to hear that from somebody, and to hear it from somebody who is supposed to be an educator. You are supposed to be armoring the young people who come and sit in front of you with, again, the same thing that we would hope Disney movies would armor them with: timeless, timeless beliefs, thoughts, values, challenges to their beliefs that they can walk on into the world and apply at their will. But instead, you are teaching young people that they should identify with their shells. Oh, gosh. Fired.
Right. And, you know, if you experience trauma, then, you know, maybe, yeah, you need a few days off. Or if you lose a loved one close to you, then yes, you should have some time off for bereavement, because that's something that you have experienced as a real life human being in real life relationships. But this is the problem with this identity politics nonsense, is, like you said, it's all about this shell, and you're, it's like there's something that you have almost nothing in common with someone else other than this very external shallow factor. And you're saying that I need to take days off because I'm so traumatized by someone I've never met being murdered or something like that.
Yeah.
It's just such it's a worldview that doesn't work. And also, if you're so concerned about this, and if it's affecting you so much, are you doing anything? Are your feet on the ground in these communities? Are you supporting the families that have lost their loved ones in this moment? Are you showing up at their funeral? Are you helping them? Are you doing anything about it? Are you springing into action at all? Or are you just using this as a springboard to air your grievances against society, against the system, against the white supremacist patriarchal country that is America, and to tear it all down? Is it actually about the trauma that you're experiencing? Is it actually about the care that you have for your fellow man? And this is where, like you're saying, she's an educator. You should be educating people that are under your purview to identify themselves as human beings and as Americans, and say, hey, these are our fellow man. As a fellow human being, no matter what your color is, you should be caring about what's happening in these communities. You should be caring about these victims of crimes and of these people, even though they don't share your skin color. You should still identify with them because they're your fellow man. And that's just how backwards this ideology is it's saying, like, it's literally doing nothing for the people who are hurting, and then elevating yourself as the actual victim in the scenario, and then demanding that society accommodate you for what you've experienced on the basis of someone else's suffering. It's just so detached from anything logical or reality. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, I want a camera on her for her day off to see what she's actually doing on this day of bereavement and leave, where she's too pain-struck to go to her class and teach critical race theory and critical race feminism. I really want to know what you're doing. She goes on to say in this quote, But before that, I am a Black woman, a Black woman who is expected to return to business as usual on Monday after seeing a member of my community murdered on Friday. Although it is customary for employees to receive support and understanding while grieving the loss of a loved one, the same care is rarely shown to the Black community when we lose someone in horrific and traumatic ways. Where is our Black bereavement leave? This opens up so many questions for me. First of all, in what way is another Black person that dies part of your community? And if they are, and you can justify that, why isn't a white person who dies part of your community? Is a white person who gets shot by police not part of your community, so there's no bereavement for them? There's nothing that you should be doing? There's no pain there? There's no trauma? There's no fatigue? Then you go to work the next day, and you're, what, you're happy about it, or you're proud of yourself? How does that work? Which is why we just released a video this morning about why I have such an issue with the phrasing of the term black community, because it allows for things like this. These are people that you don't know, and these are horrible and horrific situations, yes, but what do you mean you need a bereavement period as if they are one of your loved ones? Where are we now that, you know, if every time you heard a story of someone of your race dying, you needed a bereavement period, nobody would ever work ever. Nobody would ever see their next day at work, because there, believe it or not, are people dying every day, and there are people dying in horrific ways and sad ways of all races. But no, we play the black card. Black people get special treatment. This isn't bereavement leave for members of your community. This is, quote, black bereavement leave. Oh, goodness gracious. And to liken it to somebody losing a loved one. So what's she saying? This woman, when she hears from coworkers, and a coworker goes, you know what? My grandmother just died. I think I'm going to take a week off of work. Does she think to herself, I didn't get a week off of work when George Floyd died? Is that really sound logic that we're using right now with this black bereavement leave? She should be fired. This is a mental health test, and she failed the mental health test. You are not equipped to be teaching students if your mind is this fallible, if you are this fragile, if you are this traumatized. I am so sorry.
It's also like narcissism hiding behind the guise of thinking of the community and doing it for the community. It's like you're really just pointing at yourself and virtue signaling how much you care about this. So it's just purely narcissistic and kind of seedy.
It is. It's 100%. And it's performative. It's just performative. It's something that you can say that you did, say that you fought for, so that you get another, I don't know, critical race theory button. And it's no wonder that this came from a person who teaches CRT. And people will say, oh, it's just about teaching black history, right, guys? That's all CRT is about. Well, I just read a whole paragraph from a critical race theorist, a self-proclaimed one, talking about black bereavement leave and special treatment for the black community, and a complete and utter lack of respect for anybody outside of her race who identifies with her shell of being a black woman and nothing else. So this might be a thing that happens. At some point, black bereavement leave.
San Francisco will probably start it.
Yeah,
or Portland.
Right, Portland. Portland's first on the black bereavement leave train. I don't know how old this woman is. She's probably a millennial, I would guess. Millennials and Gen Z, I don't know. I just keep hearing stories about millennials and Gen Z wanting time off for just ridiculous things. Like just, I need a self-love day, or, you know, I just need a personal time just because, or now we have black bereavement leave on the list. The threshold for sensitivity and being offended and being traumatized is so low. So very low. I don't know how anybody, you know, a girl commented last week about running a business, and she said she is managing over 100 millennials and Gen Zers. I do not envy that person. I can only imagine the type of excuses you get for people not wanting to come to work and having to deal with that. I can only imagine.
No thanks.
Yeah, no thanks. Moving on. This next story, speaking of equality and equity in the fight for racial unity in America, Bernie Sanders appeared on Bill Maher alongside Russell Brand, which Russell had some really great clips, which we might get to today. But Bernie was pressed on whether or not he supports equality, which is equal opportunity for all, meaning we all have access to the same pathways. And if we choose to take them, our ability will probably dictate how far we go along that pathway. Or equity, where you have equality of outcome, meaning if we have 10 CEOs, 5 of them are men and 5 of them are women, because we want it to be completely equal across the board. Doesn't matter about your ability. It doesn't matter about your morals, your values, how capable you are. I will just place you in that outcome and make sure that it's equal. Now, Bernie was pressed on which one of these he supports, and here's his answer.
This word equity has come into the language in the last few years, and before that, we didn't hear it a lot. And I think a lot of people hear equity and they hear equality, that like it's the same word, and it's not the same word in the same concept. So how would you differentiate between equity and equality?
Well, equality, we talk about, I don't know what the answer to that is. Come to think of it, you know, equality is equality of opportunity. All right? We live in a society, we want all people to have whatever color your skin is.
Equity, I think, is more guarantee of outcome, is it not?
I think so. I think that's
okay. Equality. So which do you come? Which side do you come down on?
Equality.
Equality.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Boys?
You know what? I have no hate for Bernie Sanders. You know, I don't think he's like a horrible person or anything. I just love that when he said equality, he's like, is that okay? I had to say it's just the right answer. You know, I'm sorry. He just had this face of like, oh, I'm going to say it. Should I say it? Because that would send a ripple effect through many people who are progressive and left leaning, who have been running with equity, 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 equity. And very seldom do people know what that word means when they're just like throwing it out and saying we want equity.
Yeah, they conflate the two as though they're the exact same word or synonyms, and it's just not the case. And it was very telling that you could almost hear a pin drop after he said that. There was no peep.
Yeah. Equality.
Yeah, I feel like he's, you know, some
he's
part
reasonable.
Of Bernie I feel like is a little bit endearing because he kind of predates all of this old school. He predates all this new school woke, you know, thinking and all the new, you know, just hypersensitivity and everything. That's not really his style. He was kind of around before that, like being the crazy communist in Congress, just, you know, spouting all this stuff that he genuinely believes in, all this leftist stuff. But anyway, I don't think that, you know, what he's not used to all of these new terms and you know, so I think he was caught off guard with that because he doesn't think in woke terms. He just thinks in like old school communist terms, which it's like, hey, more power to you.
100%. And he walked alongside MLK and marched during the civil rights movement. So if anybody was familiar with equality and what was being asked for there, it probably is Bernie Sanders. And to now see that be curtailed for the sake of equity and this totally different set of ideology and a totally different outcome completely when compared, he must be like, damn, y'all really messed up what I was saying. Y'all really didn't get the vibe because you have changed completely and become way, way more radical. It's so weird to be watching a show like Bill Maher's and hear this kind of conversation. Of course, he's been on this track for quite some time now, so it's not as strange now, it's not as shocking, but it's so, I don't know, it gives me hope to see this happening on television, to see Bill Maher being not afraid to have these conversations, to have somebody like Russell Brand on, who we're going to react to in this next clip, where he really digs in to somebody who works for MSNBC about what is fair, real, and just journalistic integrity, what journalistic integrity looks like, and the lack thereof in the United States of America. Here's him going at this guy.
John, I've not known you long, but I love you already. But I have to say that it's disingenuous to claim that the biases that are exhibited on Fox News are any different from the biases exhibited on MSNBC. It's difficult to suggest that these corporations operate as anything other than mouthpieces for their affiliate owners in BlackRock and Vanguard. And unless we start to embrace, and also, mate, like just spiritually, if I may use that word in your great country, we have to take responsibility for our own perspective. I've been on that MSNBC, mate. It was propagandist nutcrackery I went on a show called Morning Joe. Yeah. It was absurd the way they carried
Good morning.
On.
I'm just going to pause this for a second. I, you guys already know that I love Russell Brand, but he is so tactful in the way that he goes at people for what they're doing. And the way he's doing it is really masterful, because he's just injecting banter into it and allowing you to follow along what is a really entertaining way to speak to somebody, but he's actually directly calling them out and saying, no, you work for an organization that is doing something wrong. You are blatantly putting out misinformation and propaganda, but the whole audience is laughing and cheering. And a lot of people might think that that means the message is getting lost on them, but I really don't think it is. I think it's landing, and it's actually landing in the perfect way of mixing in a comedic and sort of fanciful energy with something that is really serious. And that's why what he does is very masterful, because this guy is continuing to respond, even though it's getting a little bit aggressive, and he's actually making some very, very direct accusations.
Joe.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know what it was. It wasn't morning. There was no one called Joe there. No one could concentrate. They didn't understand the basic tenets of journalism.
See? It wasn't morning. There was nobody called Joe there. Two little jokes. And then the third thing, they did not understand the basic tenets of journalism. Beautiful, masterful. I don't know how his mind works fast enough to make that happen, but it does.
No one was willing to stick up for genuine American heroes like Edward Snowden. No one was willing to talk about Julian Assange and what he suffered trying to bring real journalism to the American people. And I think to sit within the castle of MSNBC throwing rocks at Fox News is ludicrous.
My friend.
Make MSNBC better. Make MSNBC great again.
My friend, I would love. I would.
The moment. The moment. Fight them on a territory you can win on, Joe.
Russell, darling. The moment that you give me a specific example. An actual example.
Okay, I'll give you one. Wait. We need a specific example.
How about a specific let me tell you what the specific example I'd like to hear of. I'd like to hear a specific example, a provable specific example, of an MSNBC correspondent or anchor being on television saying something they knew was false and were saying behind the scenes to people, I'm about to go out and we know that the election wasn't stolen
or something equivalent. Example.
But I will go out on television and say the opposite. I will lie.
When's my answer?
Give me the specific example.
I understand the basic part. Okay.
Give me a specific example.
All right.
I'm with you. I think it's a false equivalency, Russell.
How is it a false equivalency? Please, somebody explain to me, because they keep trying to shut him down and say, just give me an example. I'm not going to talk about any of the things you just referenced there, but give me a specific example. I think it's a false equivalency. And I'm saying this as somebody who goes on Fox News once a week. It is not a false equivalency. Each major news network has a very clear and distinct agenda, and they report on things that promote that agenda. The fact that you even have news personalities should tell you exactly that. What do you mean you need a personality to tell you your news? Your news should be telling you exactly what is happening objectively and allowing you to go home with that information and to decipher based on your own personality, your own set of values, and your own thinking what that means. But no, we have Fox News and CNN and MSNBC personalities who fit the perspective agenda of whatever it is that we're going to put out to you that night. And we tailor the news stories, we tailor the correspondents and the contributors who give you that news. Of course they do. Of course. Not a false equivalency.
It's not about bias. It's a false equivalency because you don't actually know anything about any of these organizations you're talking about, even on MSNBC once, big fucking deal.
My darling, it was more than enough.
You don't have a single actual...
He has for years been reporting and talking about mainstream media, doing his very own form of journalism, and it's so funny. And why Russell Brand is going to, I think, become a very dark Trojan horse for these people is that he is so easy to invalidate because of his past of being an actor and drug addiction, all these things that he is very open about and very forward about. And it's easy for people to write him off, but not when he gets in the room with you and is talking with you face to face. And he actually has the facts, the stats, and all the research that he's done to back it up, plus a really eloquent way of presenting it all to you. So he tries to invalidate him and said, what could you possibly know about MSNBC? When all of the information, for the most part, is open to the public except for the lies that they're holding back from you. But guess what? They give you the propaganda for free. It's all right there.
Do you want an example?
Yes.
The ludicrous, outrageous criticisms of Joe Rogan around ivermectin, deliberately referring to it as a horse medicine when they know it's an effective effective not medicine.
Mad Al turning up on the TV saying,
if you take this vaccine, you're not going to get it, when it hadn't been clinically trialed for transmission. You have to listen.
Wait,
do you think you can improve America by determinedly and avowedly condemning Fox News without acknowledging that you're participating in the same game? Did you not just listen to Bernie Sanders, someone who plainly, legitimately believes in this country and believes it's possible to change, but is bound by corruption, is bound by the lobbying system? Surely it's clear to you, Bill, as one of the great pundits and experts and comic voices, that systemic change is required. Money has to be taken out of politics. We need new political systems that genuinely represent ordinary Americans so that we can overcome cultural differences. And bickering about which propagandist network is the worst is not going to save a single American life, not improve the life of a single American child, not going to improve America's standing in the world, and the world needs a strong America, I'll tell you that.
Oh my gosh, this is amazing. And to hear all of it while three Americans, actual Americans, sit and bicker back and forth. Oh no, I think that's a false equivalency. Oh, non-responsive. You're not giving me a clear example. Just like unbelievable to have somebody from outside the country come in and go, okay, well, let me come and do this show really quickly and tell you all what's going on in your country and let you know really what's happening. Oh, gosh.
Russell is just really a shining example of the power of free speech, because he's literally just using his speech to wipe the floor with everyone else who is, he's exposing that they're a part of this corrupt system in the media. Mm-hmm. And he's just using his tongue, the power of his tongue, to just lay waste to all of these people and the institutions that they are entrenched in. And it's just, you know, this is why you see during COVID and over the last few years, there's such a emphasis on narrative control and on not letting this certain type of perspective. You mentioned one on the eye medicine. This not letting certain ideas or certain, you know, things that run counter to the narrative see the light of day. Because when speech is free, you have to defend ideas on their merits. You have to engage with things in good faith and honesty. And someone like Russell, who has his facts straight and who sees things clearly, can just make a better argument and expose things. And that's just the power of free speech. And, you know, I don't know that he'll be, I mean, I'm hopefully Bill Maher will invite him back, because Bill Maher's been on pro free speech. But this is why you're not going to see much of Russell on MSNBC or probably Fox for that matter, because his tongue is so sharp and he's just going to tell it like it is. And, you know, for the everyday people, they resonate with that, because it sees, unless you are part of the ideology, and then you just want him to shut up by any means necessary.
Yep. Like, they just try to shut him down. I noticed he never got a rebuttal. He never got a response to what it was that he was saying. But luckily, he knew what the true answer was, and he was just able to deliver it to everybody there watching. And I just hope he's not written off as somebody who's just like funny, haha, comedian, because it's so clear that that is not at all what this man is or what he's going to put out into the world. And I think people are catching on to that. He's got, like, I don't know, probably like 7 million subscribers on YouTube now, because people have found what he's saying, and just the truth is just so clear and so clearly shining in a lot of the stuff that he says. So yeah, what a fantastic clip. I think we're going to go on to Super Chats, although we do have a couple TikToks. I don't know if you guys want to look at these TikToks real quick.
I do want to add to that. That was just a masterclass in utilizing the old adage. You're literally the pot calling the kettle black. And he's holding up a mirror to MSNBC and the rest of mainstream media and being like, hey, you guys are literally doing the same thing, just from a different angle, that of the people that you're trashing all the time. And it's just interesting, because the only rebuttal that this man had was essentially saying, like, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't have you don't have the master's or the PhD. Like, that argument is just, it's so hollow nowadays, because hey, that means nothing almost anymore, with the way in which those things are being dished out left and right. I really appreciate Russell's ability to utilize speech, as you were saying, Taylor, and just, you know, cut holes in his arguments, because they're paper thin.
So very stale. Just be honest. Just look at the American people and say, yes, I work for MSNBC, a news organization that is particularly left-leaning, because I believe that a left-leaning message is what's best for America. And that's what you get when you sign in to watch MSNBC. And the people who work at Fox News say, I think a right-leaning message is what's best for people in America. And hopefully, at some point, we develop a thirst for news that does not just feed into our own agendas, and we can just get objective facts surrounding the matter. Although that probably won't happen, because your news is also a reflection of what you want in a way. So that's where we get. They don't do it because nobody watches, you know? Although CNN
does. That's
why I
just listen to people like Kamala to get smarter.
Something like that. You'll get something from me. I don't know if it's smarter. Now, let's see. You guys are voting on TikToks versus Super Chats.
Yeah, we did a poll. Do you guys want TikToks or Super Chats? And it looks like 56% say Super Chats. So
okay.
We'll do that.
Beautiful. Okay, I've got some here. I don't know if I got all of them, but let's start. Number one is from an autistic reader. Thank you so much for a very large Super Chat. We very appreciate that. Very appreciate that. Yep. English. You're getting smart from me, guys. He says, I'm autistic. Politics confuse the crap out of me. Love watching your channel. The way you explain things makes sense to me. Still too scared to voice my own opinions, but relieved to hear others that have similar thoughts and are clear with explanations. Thank you. That just made my entire day and my entire week. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And yeah, we're always here for you. Don't feel too pressed to go out there and share your opinions if you're not quite ready. It's no worry. Thank you so much for your support. Diva Dawn says, Amala, so sorry you were wasted on that podcast. And I think Diva Dawn is talking about the whatever podcast that I did last night. Guys, whew, I was out there until like 11:30 last night and had a 2-hour drive home. So I drove home. I got home about like 2 in the morning. But yeah, it was fine. It went well. It was a 4-hour podcast. The only thing is I didn't have as much opposition as was anticipated. And there were a couple girls who I guess flaked on doing the podcast who maybe would have been a little bit more left-leaning. So for the most part, I was saying things and everybody was just like, oh, yeah, yep, that sounds about right. And we didn't really get into that back and forth that I was looking for. But I did talk to Brian, and Brian was like, yeah, we'll have you back and we'll bring on some crazier left-leaning girls so that we can actually have, you know, a back and forth and go back and talk about the issues that were presented in the first one and get into some other stuff. So I will go back to the whatever podcast so long as I have some fair opposition.
I want to know, did they flake before or after finding out you were going to be on the podcast?
Yeah, that's great. I don't know. I feel like, yeah, I don't have that much street cred to where people would be like, I'm not going to go to this thing because she's gonna be there, but who knows?
Maybe it's not just that they were scared either. Maybe it's like, you know how when you go to a campus, the leftist students are like, we're not even gonna show up to class today because out of protest because she's a transphobe or whatever.
Yeah,
maybe they protested like that.
Yeah, who even knows? who even knows? We'll see. I want to go back next time and just, I'm like, you know, the girls that I reacted to in those videos last week, just re-invite those girls, sit them down. We'll play the videos and we'll go back over that stuff. I'm like, I would love to do that, please. And you can just put all of them there and then just me, nobody else. Mm-hmm. But we'll
see. I'm the captain now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Alex Santea says, by the way, I wanted to say that I hope you guys continue doing your 1-hour episodes because they are great content and I like listening while I'm at work. Well, we're here. It's Monday, baby. And we'll be back Wednesday and Friday. So we'll let you know, guys, if anything changes. Stephanie Fonseca says, my mom said posol was a special dish made with human meat after the sacrifices in parts of Mexico. Don't stop me from eating it today. What is that? Pozole? Pozole? Is that what it is?
Are you asking Scott? Because he's... Yeah,
I came in halfway into that one. So
Pozole, I've never heard of that.
I've not heard of that. Yeah, you have?
I've heard of it. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to Google it really quickly. Hold on. Let me Google it. And your mom told you it was made of human meat? That's kind of messed up, mom. I don't know if
you're... It sounds like something off of The Last of Us. Spoiler alert.
It's a Mexican pork and hominy stew.
Oh, yeah. I've had this many times.
You've had this many times. Yeah, you were so eating human, according to this girl's mom.
Okay.
Okay. This next one is from Alex Santeas. He says, hey, guys, Amala, will you be going back on the Whatever podcast again? And would you be willing to do Fresh and Fit if they asked? You know, I was going to go on Fresh and Fit at the end of February, and that ended up falling through because I was going to go to Florida and do a few podcasts, and then one of them fell through, so we didn't want to go through the whole trip just to do Fresh and Fit. But eventually, I mean, I'm on. I've got contacts over there, so if I'm ever in Florida, in the Miami area, I'll just add it on to my trip. And as far as the Whatever podcast, hopefully we'll be doing that again. Zachary McConnell says, kudos for your heroic patience in basic B-word hell during the Whatever podcast last night. 1 hour of makeup and nails talk about nothing. I hope they bring you back to have a real conversation. Yeah, I was looking at the chat during the entire show and everybody's like, Amala's so bored, Amala's gonna leave, Amala's gonna go to the bathroom and she's never gonna come back again. Because I guess my face looked bored because I was looking at a monitor of the girls because he didn't want me to like look over and have my face turned all the way. So I was engaged and I was listening to them speak, but I was looking at a monitor. So it probably looked like I was just blank staring out into the abyss and that I like wanted to, you know, unalive myself. But that is not, the truth. I was a little less stimulated than I would have liked.
So diplomatic. You had RBF face the whole time, resting board face.
Resting board face. Okay, I'll take that. That's fine. But yeah, I know I have that affliction. So I just could not bring myself to engage in some of the conversation that was happening. Anyways, Diva Dawn says, oh no, black teachers need a safe space. I mean, yeah, we need that black bereavement time. I'm going to take black bereavement next time I don't want to do this podcast. And you're just gonna get a black screen that says Amala is taking black bereavement for an hour, and that will stream for an hour, and you guys can look at it, I guess, and think about.
And you will pay reparations and sit there and look at that black screen for an hour.
Yep, and super chat to nobody as your payment. This one is from Sleep is the Cousin of Death. Thank you for your super chat. It says, supporting atheist. Hey. You know, we got a mix of beliefs here. I'm a non-believer myself. Taylor's a believer. Scott's a believer. We got different things going on. So thank you for watching the show and supporting. Daisy, thank you for your super chat. The only live action I like is Cinderella. That was the one with, what's her face? Lily... Who played Cinderella in the live action?
I can't help you on this one. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Cinderella live action was Lily something. Oh, no. Camila Cabello.
Camila.
So they made her Hispanic. Oh, yes. And then the fairy godmother was Billy Porter, was a black gay man.
Ah.
So we forgot that one.
Wow.
We should have remembered that one.
Yeah, that's a big one.
That's a big one. A black gay man plays the fairy fabulous godmother.
Who produces this show?
Keep up. Show, it says, okay, it adds a richer backstory to the characters and empowers Cinderella without being too feminist. And I think feminists hate it a little bit, LOL. Maybe. Are we talking about the same one? Because I feel like there was two Cinderella live actions and they were different.
I see a Hillary Duff one in 2004, but I don't
think hope that's... Is that the one you're talking about? There was another one with Lily James. That was 2015, but is that the same one with Camila Cabello? I'm sorry, I have to look into this for no reason. Okay, so Camila Cabello was 2021. The one with Lily James was 2015. So I don't know which one you're referring to, but hey, I'm glad that you liked it and it wasn't too feminist-y. Zachary McConnell, thank you, says, quote, we are not nouns, we are verbs. I am not a thing, an actor, a writer. I am a person who does a thing. I write, I act. You can be imprisoned if you think of yourself as a noun. Stephen Fry. That's a fantastic quote. I'll have to think on it more and think about whether or not there are exceptions to that quote. But in hearing it in the moment, sounds good. I'm into it. I write, I act. I podcast. Thank you for that quote.
Therefore, I am.
And I like Stephen Fry. He seems like a very, very smart man. Andrew Galvin, thank you, says, welcome to the far right, Russell Brand. Yeah. Oh, gosh. I remember, I think Telegraph did an article on him calling him a far right extremist when he first started talking about COVID and blowing up on YouTube. That's so wild. So very wild because he's not at all. Kerbery, thank you for your super chat. Says, hi, Amala and friends. I hope you're all having an amazing day. Thanks for an amazing stream. Oh, you guys are so nice.
My oh my, we had a wonderful day.
Yes, we did. Zippity doo dah. Majandra fan says your outfits usually look amazing. Usually. No. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Is that a backhanded sometimes they don't look good?
Yeah. It's, oh, like, man. It's like when you tell a woman you look good today.
Yeah.
And they're like, today. No, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. I try to keep it fresh for you guys. Do we have any other super chats that I missed while we were?
Did you get Jay Rankin? Typically left-leaning, but love the show. I might disagree on several things, but I love how humble you guys are. Would love to debate.
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much for watching the show. We love when people of different, you know, what do we call it? Different ideologies, different
persuasions.
Different persuasions. Okay. Watch the show. So we appreciate you.
And also, if you like debating, you can check out the Discord where you can discuss the things that we talk about on the show debate them with other people in Discord.
They're very active.
One more from Daisy said, I am Asian, watched and loved That's So Raven, proud family, did not think of their skin color cross my head even once.
And yeah, just to add to that, I was messing with Mulan. Mulan was my favorite Disney princess of all time. So we sort of, we swapped there. We race swapped, just like Disney does with every single movie they make. And yeah, I loved Mulan. She was my hero as a child. What else do we got?
Another one from Mr. J. Soto. School system is crazy, but the more reason for me to stay and try to make a difference in these kids' lives. Kids' behavior is nothing compared to the amount of gender, racial, and woke teacher crap.
Hey. She said she's an educator, or he's an educator?
Looks like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. J.
Good for you for sticking it out and doing something and caring. It's hard. It would be hard to stay in the education system right now. I heard there's some badass little kids running around. And plus,
I see so many fight videos on social media in schools. Yeah.
I know. Yeah. It's weird. Do you see that 17-year-old who beat the teacher unconscious for taking his Nintendo Switch?
Yeah, that was hard to watch.
Wild.
Really rough. Cannot imagine. Daisy responded and said, not the Lily James, not Camila Cabello. So which one was it? You're talking about the regular Cinderella?
No, the Lily James, not Camila Cabello.
Oh, so, no. Okay, yes, I read that wrong. Okay, so okay, the Lily James one, the 2015 one. I got you, girl. Okay, that makes sense. Dow says, when does Unapologetic start getting called far right? That'd be wild. Yeah, I feel like we're right of center, I think is what we would call this show. Everybody gets mad. The conservatives get mad because we're not right enough. The leftists get mad because we're too right. So we're doing something. We're doing something good, I guess. Maria Fernanda del Castilla Pardo says, greetings from Chile. That's awesome. Love your videos. I listen to you guys while working. It relaxes me because here things are so messed up politics wise. Send help. Send help to us too. Let's train. Let's see what we can do for each other.
We got another one from Insurrection 87. I think most people are somewhere in the middle politically. However, it seems like the loudest are the extreme right/left. We have to be willing to have discourse and move away from labels.
Yes, I'm all about that. A lot of people have been getting mad at me. I've noticed in some comments, not a lot of them, a few people are like, you're not conservative enough, or I thought you said you were conservative. Now I'm like, I don't want any labels. Leave me alone. Get away from me with that. I don't want your labels anymore, because I'm just going to tell you what I think about certain things. And sometimes that will fall within your umbrella for whatever you think that a conservative is, and sometimes it's going to not. So y'all gonna have to deal with it. Okay, you can't win them all. Okay,
we got Nicodemus 1984 says, little congratulations from France to you and your team for your awesome work. So reassuring to see young people, and especially young women, thinking by themselves and not what social media's want to.
Thank you, Nicodemus. That's a cool
Merci
name
beaucoup.
By the way.
Yeah.
Merci beaucoup. We appreciate you.
I wanted so badly to read that in a French accent, but I thought that would be.
You should have just read it in French. You should have translated it.
Or respond in French. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah. I said merci.
Oh.
There we go. You said the most basic French word you can say. I think that's it for Super Chats. Did we hit them all?
I think so,
guys. Let us know in the chat if not.
Let us know if we forgot you. I'll give you a moment. just a quick moment.
Oh, we got a couple more coming.
We got a couple more. From Julissa Castillo. Hi, Amala. I really love your videos. Much love from Phoenix, Arizona. Thank you so much. I've been to Phoenix, Arizona a couple times. It was really hot. I don't know how you guys are doing. It was like 105 degrees last time I was in Phoenix, Arizona at night. I feel like SpongeBob at night. It was 105 degrees. I don't know what y'all do when it gets like that. And Dal says, without the middle center, we get a dictatorship or communist dictatorship. Yeah, you know, I used to think, you know, if you're in the center on things, you're a little fence sitter, you know. I've said that many a time on this show in the past. And now, I don't think that anymore. The fence is there for a reason. Right. Probably not to sit on. That seems a little precarious. But the fence is there for a reason. I don't think you should just like sit and not choose a side on an issue, but there's certainly room in the center to be there. Dash Fortune says Cinderella is a great fairy tale because the prince chooses the based homemaker and not the vile, toxic, superficial stepsisters. You are very right. Do you guys know like the old school Cinderella story and what the stepsisters do to their feet to fit into the slippers? Have you guys heard this?
No.
So in the old school,
is this a grim fairy tale?
It is. Yeah. It is a grim fairy tale. So in the old school version of Cinderella, the vile, disgusting stepsisters that were mentioned actually hack off parts of their feet to fit into the glass slipper. I know you guys all just wanted that imagery, so I just gave you that little fun fact to take home with you. Yeah. And then the prince notices the blood in the shoe and is like, you are the wrong girl. Next. Mikey Barbie, thank you for the super chat.
Sorry, that was an abrupt transition. Yeah. I'm sitting there thinking about how gnarly those feet pics would have been.
Yeah. Somebody would buy those feet pics. Somebody would. Yeah. The girl who was on the Whatever podcast with me on Sunday was making, she says, $40,000 a month selling her feet pics, which I don't know if I believe, but that's what she stated. What? I feel like it was a little cap, but she said.
Somebody watching would pay a pretty penny for Scott's feet pics.
You don't want those.
You don't want those. Mikey Barbie says, Lost Boys. Need I say more? Lost Boys. Need I say more? I actually do need you to say more because I don't have
maybe because they put girls in the Lost Boys of the new one.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're saying
it's the Lost
they
Boys.
They actually
They're
are Lost
called
Boys.
The Lost Boys.
Yeah, we actually have Lost Boys on the Lost Boys team. I think if that's what you mean, let me know. Diva Dawn, I nicknamed that girl Toe Jam. clever Don, clever. Malik Bartholomew, thank you for a very big super chat. Sorry I'm late. Please research aphantasia. It's something I found out about myself very late in life and would be amazing if you could use your platform to spread awareness on the topic. Thank you for all you do.
Oh, interesting.
I've never heard of this.
Says aphantasia is the inability to visualize, otherwise known as image-free thinking. People with aphantasia don't create pictures of familiar objects, people, or places in their mind's eye.
Dude, I had a friend who was like this in school. Her name was Marion. And Marion, we did this. We were like, Marion, what do you picture when I say a lemon? She's like, I picture the word lemon in my head. L-E-M-O-N. She pictures the word lemon in her head. She cannot fathom or like create in her mind the image of a lemon.
Whoa.
And there are tons of people who can't do it and they don't see in pictures in their mind.
Oh my goodness.
Isn't that really weird?
Your dreams just like reading a book.
Yeah.
And imagination is just like writing your own novel,
right? So strange.
Humans
are fascinating. Anyways, I think that is it for Super Chats. I think we did get all of them. Guys, thank you so much for watching today. We will be back Wednesday, and we're going to have a cool video for you tomorrow as well. I believe it's going to feature a one Cameron Haynes, who I did a podcast with recently in Eugene, Oregon. So that'll be fun. I don't know why I did a Southern accent. They don't talk like that. They don't talk like that at all. It just felt like they should. Anyways, guys, thank you so much for watching. We'll have a video up for you tomorrow. Hope you all enjoyed. Thank you so much for your super chats and support. We love you guys. Love having you around and love talking to you on these live shows. So leave a comment down below after the show. What is something that you think you should get time off for? And, you know, just give me something new. I love hearing these fresh takes about Black bereavement. What do you need time off for? What's your next personal day? And what do you think is the next movie that Disney will remake, and how will they change it? Drop that in the comments down below. Please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single time we post a video for you guys and every single time we go live. I know you want to hear that little ding on your phone, that Pavlovian notification bell for when we're live. Anyways, guys, peace out. See you next time.